you are tuned in to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast. I am Brittany Elizabeth Murray, a storyteller and scribe to the nations. Today, we have the honor of listening to a beautiful piece by my sister, Miss Tori Third Sunday. This piece is called Walking on Eggshells. Tori is a spoken word artist. She is a minister of the gospel. She is an author of two books that she recently released this past August. And you are going to love this written work that she's going to be reciting on the podcast today. It is called Walking on Eggshells again, and it is deep and it's intricate and it's vivid. She definitely has a way with words. Stay tuned. You don't want to miss this one.
He said, "You're going to keep getting your life together until you die," in response to me trying to verbalize my reasoning for not living fully in my purpose. There's this phrase intertwined with this movie that references this poem that says, "Our greatest fear is not that we are inadequate, but that we are powerful beyond measure." But something about being the victim of rape while being raised in a single-parent home while struggling with low self-esteem at the very same time your dreams seem to be set aside to make room for the nightmares that followed the one thing you done that you couldn't seem to live down for nothing causes you to feel a pull towards mediocrity. And walking on eggshells feels like safety because being great scares you to your core. After all, great people don't have skin tone like yours. Great people live in great houses with great parents and on great roads that lead to great success, right? So keep it simple. Do just enough to get by. Go back to school, but start right at bachelor's and never think yourself a master at anything. Walk with head up and eyes focused, but as soon as that side of the family who knows what you did last summer comes around, tilt your confidence a little towards hell and dim your light just enough for no one to see their way through the tunnel. But wasn't there some verse in one of those testaments that testifies to something a bit different? Didn't it say no one hides their lamp under a bushel? Light is supposed to be on a hill, but this hill has walked on eggshells way longer than she's walked in the assurance of who Tori is. Her hands used to fold books closed when cool kids entered hallways. Her tongue etched bully marks onto peers when she thought the right ears were listening. Even now, as she walks by faith and not sight, she realizes that sometimes she can be more Peter than Paul, denying herself three times before dawn, and I guess it never dawned on her that she was created to shift the dusk. She's the hour right when the sun is on the rise. But she always thought she favored midnight. She's alarm clocks going off to awaken the gifts that lie dormant in this generation. She embodies the antidote of her nation, but she always thought she was too thick at the waist. She carries the legacy of Harriet and Mahalia with the little Michelle and every 60 and above African American grandma who prayed and praised their families through. And God, he even had the audacity to sprinkle her with just a pinch of Maya before placing her in the womb. So when he told her she'd be getting her life together until she was dead, she realized that greatness isn't anything you do, it's who you are. And the only thing standing between her and it were the eggshells she had gotten so used to being having her weight on. But now in this very moment, greatness no longer has to wait on her to see the light. Because not only does she see it, but she understands now that some of it only entered the room when she stepped in.
So, you want to write a book, or a screenplay, or a song, but you have no idea how to get started. Well, you're in luck, but I can't teach you how to write a book. Writing is a very technical skill, and truth be told, you don't need to know how to write to create a bestseller. What I can do is teach you how to become a phenomenal storyteller in your lane of influence. I'm Brittany Elizabeth Murray, a storyteller and scribe to the nations. I've written a few books, and I've assisted others in manifesting and sequencing the stories within them to become best-selling books, award-winning films, and top chart musical tracks. So, you want to become a storyteller? Well, I'm your storytelling coach. Connect with me by visiting my website at www.ohm.me. Again, that's www.ohm.me to plug into the many resources available to you. See you there. You are tuned in to the Once Upon Her Mind podcast with Brittany Elizabeth Murray, and I have the honor of having a beautiful conversation with my sister, Tori Third Sunday. How are you today, sis?
I am well. Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. You guys just heard a wonderful piece that just literally shook me to my core, because I felt like you were reading my life, girl. Like, I really felt like, I'm like, did she know? Wow. Like that this piece touched me in such a beautiful way. And I feel like the wordplay was amazing. You have a way with words, girl. I love it.
Thank you.
So thank what's you. The yeah, name the, of this piece?
The name of this piece is Walking on Eggshells.
Got it. Walking on Eggshells. What inspired you to write this?
Well, as it is stated in the poem, I was at a poetry venue here in Greenville, and one of my really good poetry friends, we were having a conversation, and he was asking me when I was going to actually get started on some stuff, like start my own poetry venue,
yeah,
write some more books and things of that nature. And I was like, well, you know, right now I'm trying to get my life together. He said, girl, you're going to die before you get your life together. And I was like, man, that's so true. And it just prompted me not only to write this poem, but to get my life, like really get it together and stop keep saying that. That's right. Just a go-to phrase that we use sometimes.
Right. Wow. Girl, I say that every day. I gotta get my life together. I gotta get my life. Oh my gosh. My life is not in order. And that's why I believe that this piece actually just, it kind of shook me, but it also soothed me too. It gave me like a peace and like a comfort to know that I'm going to always be getting my life together. I'm never going to arrive. When I arrive is when I have died in the earth and have lived, when I truly live in eternity. And I'm just like, yo, like, she is so right. I'm always saying I need to get my life. I need to get my life together. But we're going to always be getting our life together. So, you know, once that made sense to you and you felt prompted to actually get your life together, what else did that ignite you to do besides just writing this poem?
So also I was writing two books, but I wasn't really serious about it. And I had a deadline, but then I had another deadline and I was procrastinating. And so it really prompted me to say, okay, you have this stuff on the inside of you and you already know that God wants you to use this as a testimony to share with the world. So what are you really waiting on? Or why do you keep extending the deadline? Are you being lazy, procrastinating? Is it fear? So I really had to challenge myself and like, you know, girl, what are you doing? Like, when are the books coming out? Be for real, set a date and don't waver.
So let me ask you this. What was at the root of that procrastination?
The biggest thing that I have, if I have to be transparent and honest, which I try to be all the time, is not just fear, because yeah, that's it, but it was just kind of like, who want to listen to what I got to say? People been through so much stuff. It's so many women been through stuff. People got cancer. Nobody want to listen to me. Everybody, you know, everybody got a story. Nobody want to listen to mine. So I kept putting it off, because I didn't think it was really as valid and really needed and really relevant as I know it is. You know something deep within, but on the surface, you keep letting the enemy tell you you ain't nothing and you're not going to impact the world. So that's kind of where it was.
Okay, so now we know that you got these books out, because you clearly just told us that. What, like, really just pushed you to, like, push past the naysayer in your mind? Like, how did you push past that to actually get these books manifest, like, in, like, they're physically available for people? So like, what or how did you push past the naysayer within yourself, not just the naysayers outside of you, but within you?
Right. So there's a two-part answer, I suppose, because one of them is actually a person, and I credit the awakening of this to Brandy Hunt. Brandy Hunt, she is phenomenal. She has her own editing, book production business, and she's a good friend of mine. I've known her for about 10 years, but at the time in my life where I needed it the most, in 2016, she contacted me about joining a writing program that she was starting for anybody who wanted to get their book on printed instead of just thoughts in their mind. And so that woke me up, and I joined the program and connected with 14 other female authors, and we wrote a book called There's a Queen in You. And so from that book was the birthing of Free From My Perceptions. And so besides that, though, the second part of it, you asked me about the naysayer on the inside of me, and what I had to pray to God about that, because I had to really go to him like naked, spiritually naked, and just ask for forgiveness. It was more like repentance than anything. Wow. Because here I am knowing, it's not that I was disillusioned to the fact that I went through the stuff I went through for purpose. I know that I went through that stuff for purpose. And so it's like, why am I allowing the enemy to tell me I don't have a voice? And so I had to apologize to God, and I felt ashamed. I felt ashamed because there's somebody out there who's going through or went through what I went through, but they don't feel like they have a voice. And so we both are quiet. How's any freedom, how's any deliverance going to take place? So that's what I had a conversation with God, and he shook me. And between him and Brandy, we are where we are today.
Wow. That is a beautiful, beautiful testament of faith. You said something that just sparked my curiosity, because it's something that I've been saying as far as my purpose for just sharing this platform with other women storytellers of various mediums, not just writers, you know, dancers and gymnasts and anyone who has a unique way of storytelling. And something that I say often is, I feel like women's voices have been silenced in the earth prematurely. And you said that voice wasn't have a voice, and the things that you have gone through, you know that there are many people that have gone through those things and their voice is silenced as well. Like, tell me like a little bit about just like the why, or let's see, the why behind you speaking out, you know, through your books, through your poetry, through preaching, because you're a minister as well. So what is your why? Like, why do you feel determined, or why do you feel like you have to speak out in the way you do, whether it's through your poetry, whether it's through your books or preaching the gospel? Why do you feel like you have to do this?
Honestly, I guess the underlining or foundational answer to that is, I believe that's what God allowed me to go through this stuff for. Like, I didn't always know that. If you get a copy of my book, either one of them, it talks about getting raped at this age of 12. And so from that moment, I changed lanes. And what I mean by that is, I was on my way to a great life. I was the kid who was free to dream and had a future and knew what I was going to do with my life. I already knew I was going to college. I was at a young age. And then at age 12, that was taken away from me, and I became a shell of my former self. And I lived like that for years, even through having kids and graduating college and all of that. I was still just a depressed, broken person. And God has been telling me, look, you did not get raped for nothing. You didn't have bad relationships for nothing. Your marriage didn't work out. That wasn't for nothing. You need to talk to these women and let them know that if they're going through it, they can get through it. And I think that's my biggest thing. My biggest thing is, you will go through, but you will get through. And I am a witness. I have to. You ask me why? I have to, because somebody needs to know that you can get through it by the grace of God.
Yes. Oh my goodness. That is so true. And I know growing up, I grew up utterly confused and definitely suffered from identity crisis and had no idea that I had a true identity besides what was around me and what people were telling me. And my mother passed away when I was 4.5 years old. And my father and my mother were married, but they divorced like when I was maybe 2 or 3 years old. So it's like the things that were supposed to be solid in my life were ripped away from me, early. And I think about all those years that I thought that I lost were equipping me for such a time as this to be able to speak into the lives of women that have suffered in silence the things that I suffered. And of course, my story goes deeper than just that, but that is the beginning of it for me. That's like where I remember trauma setting in. I hear you in the poem, and just now you're talking about being raped at 12 years old, and I'm really just enamored, like, to know that you're freely just saying that. Most people don't freely say that, like admit to it or just disclose that. Why are you so liberated in saying that like that?
Because I spent years, like I said earlier, depressed every time I would say that. If I had to say it, like somebody would literally have to make me say it. Like, I don't even know why I would have said that in the past. Because every time I did, I would cry to the point where I couldn't continue on speaking about it. And so God has been healing me. And that's why the book is called Free From My Perception. Because the worst pain, yes, the rape was horrible. And it was five guys, it was six of them in all, but five penetrated. So you can
Oh,
imagine.
my mama.
It was terrible. But you know what was worse than that is the fact
What?
that I had to hold on to feeling
Jesus.
disgusting, inadequate, worthless,
Right.
only a tool to be used as sex. Like I had to deal with that.
I know you're loving the Once Upon Her Mind podcast just as much as I am. And if you love it so much and feel compelled to donate, you can definitely do so on the Anchor FM app. There is a button on there that says make a donation or something along those lines, and you can click there and make a donation, a monthly donation, as small or as large as you would like. I thank you so much for listening, taking the time to just really digest what I'm saying, and thank you so much for the support. Those of you that have already been giving monetary value to this podcast monthly, you are loved and you are greatly appreciated. And you're loved anyway if you haven't been giving monies per month. You're still loved, but I am very grateful because of you, I am able to make higher quality podcasts. I am able to expound upon the Once Upon Her Mind brand. Thank you. Love you. Peace and blessings.
Yeah, so I guess the reason why I can be so bold to speak it is because I know that I was quiet for so long, and I know that other women are quiet. I know there's so many women that have been sexually abused and other types of ways as well, and they don't think that anybody cares or don't think anybody will listen because I felt like that. But I feel like if I go out there, if I do Facebook lives, if I write books, if I do poetry, and I'm transparent with where God brought me, because the testimony isn't that I got raped, it's that God brought me through that. And because of that, I have a voice now that can help others. And so I have to. It's mandatory for me to go out there and let people know that no matter what you've been through, you can flip it and share it with people and bless others.
Wow, amen. Amen. What exactly would you say that that type of abuse did to you? Like, in the sense of how did it quiet your voice? How did it
Okay.
quiet your voice?
I'm glad you asked that. But that's what my book is about, Free From My Perceptions, is the is what happened, not the rape itself. Yes, that was horrible. Yes, nobody should have to go through anything like that. But the thing that quieted me, the thing that made me feel inadequate, is the after that, what happened after that, because rape for me, this is not everybody, but rape begat promiscuity. And the reason why rape begat promiscuity is because I was like, I used to hold this near and dear, but now somebody took it from me. What's the purpose of holding on to it anymore?
Wow.
And so then I became a person who felt like I'm not going to get attention unless I give this away. And what's the point of why am I worried about that anyway? Because if you knew that I got raped by 5 guys when I was a virgin, if you knew that, you wouldn't even respect me anyway. So I'm just going to go out there and continue on in the same lane, because I got knocked out of the lane that I was in before I was 12. Because that first lane was the lane of somebody who knew who she was. And I knew that I was going to wait till I got married before I had sex and everything. When I was 11, I knew that I remember having thoughts like that because I was raised well. And then after the rape, it was just like, what's the point? You can't go backwards. So what's the point? And so because I felt so inadequate and so useless, I was quiet about it because I felt like nobody cares about me anymore. I was tainted. I felt tainted. And wow. I felt like it was nothing to talk about. It just go on with life. Just get through it. And one day you'll be old and you don't have to worry about it anymore. And I felt like I was just existing.
Jesus. Wow. That just like rang so true in my spirit. It just confirmed so many behaviors that I've conducted in the past. Like, it's just, it made things clear, like crystal clear on the why behind some of the behaviors in promiscuity that I did. And I'm so grateful that you are on this platform and you are sharing your life and you're sharing the intricate parts of you, because it's setting me free in so many ways. And I know it's going to set other women free. Wow. I'm kind of at a loss right now. Thank you so much for your obedience in the earth, sis, because we need you. We need you. We need your voice. We need your stories. We need your poem. We need your play on words. We need your preaching. We need your teaching. We need you. And I'm so grateful that you answered the call from God, that you awakened from your slumber. And something that I think about, you know, as you were just sharing, like, what that rape did to you, it almost seems like it was a huge distraction from purpose and destiny. Do you feel that way?
Absolutely. You couldn't have said it any better, because, like I said, I was raised well. My dad was a pastor. My mom was the greatest mom. She is currently the greatest mom I could have ever asked for. And so I already knew that I wanted to be great. I had a feeling, an innate feeling that I was great, and not that I was better than anybody else, but that in my own skin I was great. And then I got raped, and it was like a sledgehammer just knocked me off course. And it was also like the enemy just laughed in my face, like he knew something about my future that I didn't know, and he was trying to keep me from it. Yeah.
Wow. That's what I kept hearing, you know, as you were sharing, like, what the abuse did to you. I was like, man, just hearing you and where you are now and how boldly you preach and how boldly you speak, I'm like, if she only knew during that time who she was and what she was supposed to do in the earth, like, you know, that's, it just made me feel like that was just a distraction. And I feel like the traumas of life are distractions to keep you from purpose and destiny, to keep you from really knowing who you are. But at the same time, like, I really believe that God uses all the traumas that we ever experience to strengthen us and to give us a resilience for next level, whatever next level looks like for you, if you just like trust and believe and press your way through. Like, it's difficult, you know, it's difficult, but like, that's something that I've been learning in this current season, this current season is just like pressing, like believing it, even when I can't believe, you know, just fighting through whatever the situation is. And that might mean blood, sweat, and tears, crying my eyes out, quitting and then restarting and quitting and then restarting. I'm so grateful that you fought, that you found fight in you, and that God continued to love on you and nudge you and push you and kick you and shake you to get to this point. I want to know where we can find you. Like, do you have any social media handles that we can look you up?
Yeah. So on Facebook, I am Tori Third Sunday. Third is spelled out. So Tori Third Sunday Heal. Tori is T-O-R-E-Y. And on Instagram, it is Third Sunday 17.
Okay. Where can we get these two books?
So both of them are on Amazon, and you just put the title of the book in and pop right up. And they also are on Kindle. If you have a Kindle, you can get them off of there as well.
Okay. So can you give us the titles of both of those books again?
Absolutely. So Free From My Perceptions.
Okay.
And How I Learned to Walk Without the Crutches.
So how did you get the name Third Sunday?
Well, actually, a friend of mine, Robert Mullins, he's a poet, a fellow poet. He goes by Moody Black, one of the best poets in the upstate of South Carolina. He gave it to me, but he just gave it to me, I think, because I do Christian poetry, but he didn't even understand how it resonated with me, because not only did I get saved on a third Sunday, but I preach on third Sundays at my church. Wow. So it was so soothing.
Whoa, that is crazy. It's almost prophetic.
And she healed the world with her mind, and she has the power to heal generations and nations through her decisions. You heard it here first, people. Miss Tori Third Sunday is a phenomenal creation made by the Almighty God. She is beautiful inside and out, and her words move me. I'm sure they moved you too. Until next time, if you want to be a part of this podcast, if you have a story to share, if you have written works, if you have ways that you express yourself through storytelling, I need you to email me at onceuponhermind@gmail.com. I'd love to have a conversation with you. I believe that women's voices are being silenced prematurely in the earth. And this is our platform to share our life's experiences, our healings, our self-care regimens, whatever it is. Let's have hashtag story time. All right. Love you, ladies. Have a wonderful time. And I can't wait to commune with you again on the next Once Upon Her Mind podcast.